If you've got a Bible, why don't you open to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. A few of you are just playing for your phones, pretending, yeah, I bought the Bible. No. Thanks, Joe. Luke chapter 5. And I reckon I've got a word from the Lord. I know it's 2 days after Christmas. And, you know, I've been preparing this for months, as you could imagine, of course. I believe God's got a word for our church. And I believe that over the next month, God wants to kind of unravel something for us for 2016. And so today I'm going to begin to speak about that. So Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And if someone has it, the story of Jesus healing a paralytic, who wants to read it out for us this morning, just as something different? Here we go. Thanks, Diane.
One day, as he was teaching, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Want me to keep going? Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew that what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today."
Thanks, Diane. Keep that open if you've got the scriptures. When I have contents insurance, I expect that when my house gets burnt down, that the insurance company would pay up. Yeah. When the Aussies go out into the middle of the MCG on Boxing Day to go against the West Indies, they expect that they're going to win, right? When I pastor a church, I expect that the church is going to grow, yeah? When you're a follower of Jesus, you expect that God has the best for your life, that God has a purpose and plan for you. You expect good things. Today, I want to talk about expectations, that we expect that God is going to do good things in and through our lives. Amen? We expect it. I was watching last night a little bit of Sister Act. I don't know if you saw a little bit of Sister Act. I said, "Joe," I was in the fish and chip shop buying chips for another family. And on the TV was Sister Act. And I texted Joe, I said, "Sister Act is on." So I got home and we started to watch Sister Act. And then halfway through Sister Act 1, an advert came on the TV and said, "Coming up soon, Sister Act 2. I said, "Quick, get the peanuts out. This is going to be a good night. This is awesome. Sister Act. I love it. And so if you don't know the story, I don't know where you've been living, but Dolores Van Cartier, right? She's a lounge singer in Reno, and she witnesses her partner murdering someone, right? So she goes undercover as a nun, right? As Sister Mary Clarence. Loves Sister Mary Clarence. She goes undercover in this convent, very traditional convent under the leadership of the Reverend, very traditional and kind of a really bad choir, and you know the story. And she has expectations and belief in the people of that convent, doesn't she? She says, we could do something with this place. And we could do the choir. We could be an amazing choir. And we could even go out and meet the people," she says to the Reverend. And all of a sudden, they begin to start cleaning graffiti and they go visiting people. And all of a sudden, the expectation and belief and hope that Sister Mary Clarence had turned around that convent. And then I open up the peanuts and we get to Sister Act 2. Sister Mary Clarence is now, back to Dolores again, and she's now a headline act in Las Vegas, right? So she's made it big time. The nuns come and visit Dolores and say, we need your help to run a school because the school is kind of falling apart and the kids are just going haywire and we need your help. So Dolores becomes Sister Mary Clarence again. I love Sister Mary Clarence. And she begins to teach music in the class. There's a lot of disrespect in the class. They don't listen to her. And all of a sudden she thinks, what can I do for this class? And she begins to believe in them. She begins to expect the best from them. And all of a sudden they turn this little music class into a choir. And they become an amazing choir full of young, cynical teenagers. And they become this amazing choir and they end up winning this competition. Why? Because Sister Mary Clarence, Whoopi Goldberg, in the story, she believed in the people and she expected that good things would happen through them. Now, when Joe and I went to Darwin, about 7 years ago now, and Jennifer Mundy was our training officer when we were in training college, and we spent 2 years as Witnesses for Christ session, and we went off to Darwin. We were on the stage at commissioning, and the commissioner said, you're off to the furthest place in Australia, off to Palmerston. Now, this church was a church of literally 17, 18 people, and it was a hurting church, a broken church, a small church, a dysfunctional church, a church that had lost all hope, and that was coming from the words of the people in the church, right? And we came in there as lieutenants who didn't know that some things were impossible to do, you know? We just came in there with a whole bunch of expectation, and we realized in our first year at Palmerston, in this small little church, that we were getting to 20 years as a church. So we thought, let's put on a big celebration. So we put on an event called the Big 20. And we did Palmerston's Got Talent. We didn't find much, but we did Palmerston's Got Talent. And we did a 20-year celebration. And we got Harley Davidson rides, and we got a jumping castle. And we did Devonshire teas, and we did a barbecue. You know all the things you do. And we celebrated 20 years. And all of a sudden, within the church, you could attest to this, right? There was a sense of hope and expectation and belief beginning to rise up again in the people, right? And all of a sudden, they began to realize that God still had a plan and purpose for their church. And all of a sudden, they began to believe the best for their church. Well, 3 years later, or 4 years later, actually, on the last Sunday of our time at Palmerston, I spoke to them and said, the best days are still ahead for this church. And we left that church a little less small, a little less dysfunctional, and a little bit more hope within that small community of faith. And, you know, there's something about having expectations, having a belief that God's going to do something great. Now, I want to do something this morning. Di, I might get your help. I just want you to pour just half a glass for me, please. Oh, do you have to get it here? Come on. Don't fall down the stairs. That would be... And there would be definitely healing the paralytic. All right. So just half for me. Thank you. So that's about half, yeah? Yes, thank you. You can come grab a seat. Go down again. Thank you. Come on. Dun, 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 dun. Sorry, my legs are getting really old. All right. Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? That is the question. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? See, in this story we see four men who grab their paralytic friend on a mat and they want to go see Jesus because they believe that if they can just see Jesus, Jesus is going to bring healing to our friend, the paralytic. And they believe, with all optimism and faith, that this paralytic man, their friend, is going to be healed if they can just get him to Jesus. So they couldn't get through the front door because the place was busy. Everyone was hanging around Jesus. So what did they do? They gave up and went home? No. They thought, let's get him through the roof. And let's get into all three of the four Gospels. Yay. Let's have a powerful story here. Now, they decided to lower him through the roof. So they dug a hole. I don't know if the roof was made of clay or something. I haven't really read into it. But they dug a hole and they lowered this man, the paralytic, down on a mat. Because they believed that if they could just get this paralytic man to Jesus, Jesus would do something. I wonder whether the glass is half full or half empty when it comes to your own life and the life of this church. I wonder when you look at your own life, you think, wow, God has good things in store for me. I wonder if you look at your life and go, God has the best plan and purpose for my life. God has good things in store in 2016. God wants to do a great work. Or I wonder whether you look at your life and the glass is half empty and you think, woe is me. 2015 was terrible and I can't see it getting any better. I wonder whether the glass is half full or whether it's half empty. And when I look at the scriptures, I see stories of people having expectation and faith of the glass being half full. I'm so passionate, I'm spitting here, Di, that the glass is half full when it comes to followers of Jesus. So let's have another look at this story. Thank you, Joe. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. The power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Wouldn't it be good that we lived our life day to day believing with expectation that the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick? I was reading this in a cafe, drinking someone else's coffee, of course, thinking, what if I just sat here and expected and believed that the presence of the Lord was here such that miracles and amazing things could happen? I wonder if I just lived my life with an expectation. Norms, I wondered when you're in Cambodia, you're doing ministry and you think, the Lord is present here amongst me and the Lord is present to do great things. I wonder even in our workplaces, even when the boss is getting narky at us, whether we can say, the presence of the Lord is here. I expect that God's going to do something in this moment right now. It doesn't need to just be on a Sunday morning, but we live our life with an expectation that the presence of the Lord is around. And the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. So they lower the man through the roof and he gets healed. But something happens that even they didn't expect. Jesus doesn't just heal the paralytic. All of a sudden he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. All of a sudden Jesus doesn't just bring healing, but he proclaims pretty much that he is a savior. He's a savior that has come to save people from their sins. And all of the theologians of the day are going, whoa, settle down for a minute. Are you saying now that you are God incarnate? You are the one that can save people from their sins? And all of a sudden, even the people who were all present could not expect, did not expect what Jesus just did in that moment. All of a sudden, he pretty much proclaimed to people that he was the Savior. Let me say that Jesus can do the unexpected in your life. You expect something, and you look at 2015, right? You think, okay, this happened, that was really difficult, that was a challenge, that was a blessing, that was great. Okay, based on what has happened in 2015, and based on what has happened in 2014, this is what I expect in 2016. Based on previous experience, this is what I believe God is going to do. Can I say that God can do the unexpected? Yeah? God can do more than what you think he can. And even with the blokes who had enough faith to believe that Jesus could bring healing to the paralytic, still didn't expect that Jesus was going to proclaim that he was the Savior. I want to say that we need to have the glass half full and believe that God has the best things in store for us and for our church. And it's the difference between being optimistic and being pessimistic. And I've had family members over the years who have been pessimistic. And, you know, I don't have enough money, and I probably won't have enough money next fortnight, and, you know, my family never visit me, and they probably never will, and all of this. And then I've had other family members who actually, I might give my relative a phone call just to see how he's going, because I just want to kind of keep that relationship going. You know, optimistic. See, here's the thing. When we're pessimistic, things happen in life, and we make particular choices based on a pessimistic mindset. And when you are pessimistic, you make certain decisions in your life that reinforce your pessimism. All right? So you're feeling a bit down. You're feeling like things aren't going to work out. And at times, you kind of self-destruct. You kind of make decisions that reinforce your pessimism. And then you say, see, I told you I was right all along. Well, not really. You just made decisions from a pessimistic mindset. And we, as followers of Jesus, need to make decisions from an optimistic mindset. Because when I look at the scriptures, it's optimistic. People of faith are optimistic. The centurion calls Jesus, says, can you bring healing to my servant? He just believes that that's going to happen. There is optimism amongst the people of God. I can't see people of faith in the scriptures who are pessimistic. I can't see it. The people in the Bible that have been transformed by God are optimistic people. And God can take pessimistic people and make them optimistic. Yeah? God can take people who are pessimistic, maybe like Moses, when God calls him to go back to Egypt. And God takes a pessimistic, non-believing, you know, lack of faith kind of Moses, and all of a sudden believes in him. And then Moses believes in himself and begins to do ministry. We need to live out of a mindset of optimism. And so when I look at the life of this church, I have a lot of expectation and optimism about what God has in store. For me, I believe for this church that the glass is half full. That I actually believe 2016 is going to be better than 2015. In Jesus' name. I believe that even though 2015 has been a challenge at times, it's been difficult, but there's been times of blessing. I believe that 2016 is going to be even better. Praise the Lord. And that's why I'm excited about the year ahead. I'm excited about what God has in store. And I believe that good things are in store. And see, when you have an optimistic mindset, you make decisions that reinforce your optimism. Yeah? Now, that's not just self-help sort of stuff, right? But that's just reality. When you have a faith-filled, spirit-filled kind of mindset that is being, your mind is being transformed from the Lord, when you have that kind of mindset, you behave in ways that reinforce that optimism. And we need to operate and minister and live out of that optimism. It's difficult, isn't it, when people around you at times, maybe family, even people in the church at times, are pessimistic and you want to be optimistic. And I want to encourage you to continue to be optimistic, to show the pessimistic person that the optimism is better than the pessimism. Yeah, because the church will be a pretty attractive place if there's a lot of people who are optimists and not so much pessimists. The church would be such an attractive place to be. Praise the Lord. So Jesus claims to be the Savior, and everyone has to deal with this unexpected little theological conundrum that Jesus has just laid upon them. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So the men have enough expectation to believe that Jesus could heal this paralytic. Jesus then does more than what even they expect, and he claims to be the Savior. And God can do the unexpected in and through our lives in 2016 and beyond. Praise the Lord. I was just thinking about something, and it kind of connects in. Let me mention it. I was thinking about tenacity. When you expect good things, you become a bit more tenacious. And I was looking up the word tenacity. I don't know why, but I was just looking up, and I realized that tenacity, to kind of persevere, you know, to be tenacious, is preceded by hope. So if you're climbing Mount Everest, which I'm intending to do in January, just over my holidays, but if you're climbing Mount Everest, you are tenacious and you persevere to climb Mount Everest because you have the hope of getting to the top of the mountain. Yeah? And so that hope drives you, and you get halfway up Mount Everest, and I could imagine your fingers are about to fall off and all that sort of stuff. You're about to collapse. And you have the hope that you're going to get to the top of the mountain. And then you have that feeling that when I get to the top of the mountain, wow, the personal achievement, the accolades I'll get, the, you know, the support and encouragement I'll get from other people around about me, that hope gets you through, and you're able to continue to be tenacious. It's like Thomas Edison when he's inventing the light bulb. The hope of actually getting to the end product of the light is enough for him to be tenacious. And we have to have enough hope and expectation in what God wants to do in and through us to continue to be persevering through all the difficult times of life. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we need to be tenacious. And one more thing I want to say, and then we're going to pray together. I just want to read some scripture from Hebrews 12. If you've got a Bible, you can open up to Hebrews 12. If you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. All right? Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's one little verse in there I want you to just think about for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. But have a look at verse 2. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then this one here. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And you know, I've read that a lot. I thought, what does that actually mean? Have you ever looked at a scripture and thought, what does that actually mean? Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I just kind of picture it like this. Here's the cross, right, in the middle. Jesus is over here, and joy is over here. Who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, yeah, to get to the joy. You know, that's kind of, it's very simplistic. I know some of you theologians can put some more wording around it, but who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And in the end, he rose from the grave. Praise the Lord. See, Jesus knew what would happen after the cross. There was a sense, wasn't there, that on the third day he would rise again. He knew what was going to happen. So for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And let me say that for the expectation that we have of what God is going to do in and through our lives and through the life of this church, we can endure through different things, for the joy set before us, for the blessing set before us, for what God wants to do in the days ahead. We can endure anything. And no matter what the devil tries to do in our lives, whatever comes against us, we can endure it so that we can see the joy. We can see the blessing of what God wants to do in and through our lives and through the life of this church. Praise the Lord. So for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. And you know, to expect great things is not necessarily to have an easy journey, but it's to endure through that with hope and expectation so that you would see the joy, you would see the blessing, you would see great things happen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you just take a moment? I'm going to sing a song on the piano and we're going to worship the Lord. And I want you just to think about, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? There's been a lot of change happening in our church. There's probably been ups and downs in your own life. but is the glass half full or is it half empty? And I probably don't need to say, but let me just mention it anyway. People of faith have the glass half full. That's people of faith. People of faith, they believe for great things. They believe God has a plan and purpose for their life. So let me play piano. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to just begin to kind of switch on that faith thing inside of us. Say, God, you have great things in store in 2016 for my life and for the life of this church. Hallelujah.